friends. Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. On today's program, James Collins is continuing our series on the seven churches of Revelation, and Marvin McIlvaney presents a very timely Bible in the News report. We also have a very special announcement that you will not want to miss. As we continue to proclaim the truth that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things, we realize that difficult times are all around us, just as they were for the early church. Today, staff evangelist James Collins looks at the church in Pergamos and how they responded to being surrounded by evil on a daily basis. So let's get our Bibles and join Brother James Collins as he opens up God's Word.
The seven churches in the book of Revelation were seven actual churches, but also they describe seven periods of church history. Now, I also believe the message that Jesus gives to these seven churches are messages to the individual believer today. These are messages to us as we seek to live out our Christian faith. The Lord has called us to live out our Christian lives in a hostile world. Satan is an adversary, and like a roaring lion, he is looking for someone to devour. Satan is our enemy, and we live in a fallen world, a world filled with evil. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to speak on this subject, standing your ground. If you have your Bible and like to follow along, I'll be in Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. I want to look today at the church in Pergamos, a church that was located in a city that was full of evil. Pergamum was in northwest Asia Minor in what is today the country of Turkey. The city at John's time had many large buildings and a library with more than 200,000 volumes. At one time, Pergamum was the capital of the city of the Roman province of Asia. Pergamum was a very wealthy city. There were five large temples in Pergamum built to honor Caesar, Zeus, Athena, Apollo, and one for Asclepius. Asclepius was the god of healing. His symbol was a serpent. At the temple of Asclepius, thousands of snakes crawled around the courtyard. If you were touched by one of those snakes, it meant that your disease would be healed. Satan was identified with a serpent. The church in this evil city compromised and allowed paganism to mingle into the church. Now, there are three things that the Lord Jesus Christ tells this church about evil in the world. First of all, he tells the church that evil is common. Look at Revelation 2:12. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges." Now, there are two different viewpoints as to who the angel of the church is. Some say that each church has a guardian angel assigned to it. That could be the case. But I believe the angel of the church is the pastor. The Greek word for angel literally means messenger. So the angel of the church is the pastor. He is the messenger of the church. As a pastor, I've been trying to tell my wife for years that I'm an angel. She usually rolls her eyes when I say that, but it's right here in the Word of God. But seriously, it is nice to see a pastor called an angel because so many times in this day and age, we are called names that are not so nice. Let's continue with verse 13. The Bible says, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." The church at Pergamos was located where Satan's throne was, where Satan was seated. They were surrounded by paganism. They were surrounded by evil. Today, we are still surrounded by evil. You cannot escape it. Anywhere you go, there will be evil. Satan is a roaring lion with an army of demons, and he is infecting the world with evil. The church at Pergamum was in a community that was given over to evil. But even though Satan was there, these believers had Jesus. And Jesus had a sword with two edges, which represents the Word of God. If you want to defeat the devil, you do it with the Bible, the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of the living God. Pergamos also had a temple dedicated to Caesar. The Romans didn't care what other gods you served, but they required that you worship Caesar at least one time each year. Once a year, the citizens of Pergamos were required to go to Caesar's temple and burn incense on the altar. While the incense was burning, they were required to say, "Caesar is Lord." Satan wanted the church to compromise and go along with the politics of the day. This church was under tremendous pressure to compromise and say, "Jesus is a Lord, but Caesar is Lord too." It's funny, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Today, the world would have you believe that all roads lead to heaven. The world says that you can get to heaven on the Buddha road. The world says that you can get to heaven on the Muhammad road. The world says you can get to heaven on the tree hugger road. But let me remind you, there is only one road, and that is the Jesus road. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father unless they're on the Jesus road. And someday, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And on that, there is no compromise. But some in this church stood their ground. Some refused to compromise. Some refused to say Caesar is Lord. Some said only Jesus is Lord. And it was costing them. Look again at Revelation 2:13. The Bible says, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and thou hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Some in this church were holding fast to the name of Jesus, even in the days when Antipas was martyred. Some stood their ground, even though Antipas was killed. Now, many Bible scholars believe that Antipas wasn't his real name. They believe it was a nickname given to him by the evil people in the community. But he bore the name as a badge of honor. Antipas is made up of two words. One word means against. The other means all. He was against all. It was as if he had a reputation for being against the evil in the community. Here he comes again. Here comes against all. He's against worshiping at pagan temples. He's against saying Caesar is Lord. He's against sin. He's against evil. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, more than ever in this world today, we need people who are willing not only to be for what is right, but also to be against what is wrong. So we have seen that evil is common, and now I want you to notice that evil is compromising. Look at verse 14. Jesus addresses the church and says, But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. To understand what the doctrine of Balaam is, you need to go back to the Old Testament book of Numbers. The story is told starting in Numbers chapter 22. The king of Moab, Balak, felt threatened by the children of Israel because he knew that God was with him. So Balak hired a prophet named Balaam to curse the children of Israel. You remember the story of Balaam's talking donkey. Over the years, my wife has reminded me that if God could use a talking donkey, he can certainly use me too. Anyway, Balaam tried to curse the people of God. But every time he tried to curse them, he blessed them. Finally, Balak said, This is not working. So they came at the Israelites with compromise. The men of Israel began to marry Moabite women. The people of God began to worship idols of Moab. The children of Israel began to participate in the immoral sexual practices of the Moabites. Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel, but he showed Balak a way that made the children of Israel curse themselves. I submit to you that the church in America is being destroyed today by the doctrine of Balaam. The church in America has compromised with the world. God calls abortion murder, but we have compromised and call it a choice. God calls homosexuality an abomination, but we have compromised and call it an alternative lifestyle. God calls fornication wickedness, but we have compromised and call it making love. God calls pornography filth, but we have compromised and call it art. God in heaven help church people who are soft on some of these sins that are destroying our world today. Also notice verse 15. The Bible says, So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. The Nicolaitans were a group of people who had two heretical views. First, they believe you can separate your spiritual and physical nature, thus giving themselves license to sin. Second, they established unbiblical leadership positions in the church, so the church looked to those men for leadership instead of being led by the Holy Spirit. So the Nicolaitans took Balaam's approach to religion. They said it was okay to compromise with evil. There is an old legend about the hunter and the bear. Winter was coming on, and a hunter went out to the forest to shoot a bear. The hunter planned to make a warm coat out of the bear's fur. After a while, he saw a bear coming toward him, so he raised his gun and aimed. Suddenly the bear said, "Wait, why do you want to shoot me?" The hunter said, "Because I'm cold." The bear said, "But I'm also hungry, so maybe we can reach an agreement. Maybe we can compromise." The hunter thought about it. He agreed and put his gun down. The bear lurched forward and ate the hunter. In the end, the hunter was well covered with the bear's fur, and the bear had eaten his dinner. The point of the story is, we always lose out when we try to compromise with sin. It will consume us in the end. So we have seen today that evil is common and evil is compromising. And now I want you to notice that evil is catastrophic. That is found in Revelation 2:16. There the Bible says, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." I don't know if you caught that, but Jesus said, "Repent, or else." Listen, you don't want to be on the opposite side of God. That team never wins. I love the Bible verse that says, "If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God is against you, you are finished." You compromise and let evil into your life, God will just give you over to your sin. Now, I know this has been a hard message, so I want to leave you with an encouraging word. There is a word here for committed Christians about standing your ground in an evil world. In Revelation 2:17, Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Remember in the Old Testament how God sent manna to feed the Israelites in the wilderness? In the New Testament, in John chapter 6, Jesus said that he was manna that came down from heaven. He said, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So manna is a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, you have that heavenly manna. You have the bread of life. You have the Lord Jesus Christ with you in this evil world. The devil may be beside you, but Jesus lives in you. And it gets even better. Look at the last part of Revelation 2:17. Jesus says, "And will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." In ancient times, in a court of law, when someone was guilty, the jury would show it by giving the person a black stone. If the person was declared not guilty, they would give them a white stone. I want you to know that on the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, I was declared righteous. Jesus washed my sins away, so now I can stand firm in this evil world because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I've got a new name. I am a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not who I used to be. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. How about you? Has Jesus given you a new name? You can get your new name today. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." God has already done all the work. All you must do is receive in faith the salvation God offers. Fully trust in Jesus alone as the payment for your sins. Believe in Him and you will not perish. God is offering you a new name. All you have to do is accept it. Won't you do that? Won't you do that today?
Thank you, James. If you'd like an audio copy of James's two-part teaching on the seven churches of Revelation, simply call toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Marvin McIlvaney will be along in just a moment with today's Bible in the News. But first, we have an exciting announcement. Conferences are back. In-person and online prophecy conferences are back, and we can't wait to see you. All the information you need, schedules, list of speakers, topics, and registration details are available right now online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can just call 1-800-652-1144 and say, "I want all the details about the conferences." That's 1-800-652-1144. We are planning on a one-day prophecy briefing featuring Dr. Larry Spargimino, James Collins, and Greg Patton in Denver on Saturday, July 3rd. Our summer prophecy conference will be online and on demand. You'll be able to watch the sessions as many times as you want from July 30th through August the 7th with your all-access pass. Speakers at our online summer prophecy conference will include Billy Crone, Bill Federer, Todd Friel, Michael Smith, Rabbi Kurt Schneider, Dr. Kenneth Hill, James Collins, and Dr. Larry Spargimino. Trust me, this special online summer prophecy conference is not an event you will want to miss. Another special conference we have on the calendar is called Is It Too Late? Fall Prophecy Conference. It'll be in person and it will be in Columbus, Ohio, October 28th through the 30th. And our Signs of the Times conference will be November 20th and 21st in Las Vegas. Registration is now open for all of these conferences with some great discounts if you register early. Visit swrc.com to register today. That's swrc.com, or you can register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We are so excited that conferences are back, and we can't wait to see you. I've got a question for you, my friends. Are you woke? Marvin McIlvaney answers this question on today's Bible in the News.
One good thing that technology has helped us with is the ease in which we can do things. We can drive through a car wash in an air-conditioned car, playing our favorite songs on a flash drive, while talking to someone on our cell phone. No more stretching out the hose on the driveway on a hot sunny day and getting a bucket of soap and water, unless you really want to. Technology has also made it easy in how we can conduct and manage our relationships electronically, such as unfriending someone on Facebook or texting a last-minute cancellation of plans without having to explain too much, or ghosting someone on a variety of social media platforms. All of this might be easy, but it has certainly diminished the human factor in human interaction. Whether it's because we are hesitant to commit or averse to conflict, or just not in the mood, we hide behind screens as we let other people down. And people do that to us too. We ourselves are often disappointed when someone ghosts us for no apparent reason. Like King Solomon said, "There is nothing new under the sun." Humans letting other humans down is nothing new, but the means of expressing it are very modern and smooth and very efficient. Ghosting is when someone cuts off all communication with you without an explanation. They virtually disappear like a ghost. All of a sudden, a friend does not respond to your text or blocks you on Facebook from seeing their post. Ghosting people is generally an immature, lazy, and selfish thing to do that hurts people and ruins relationships. God wants us to live in harmony with other people. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We read that in Romans 12. Technology has made it very easy to avoid people. Just look at your caller ID and decide if you want to talk to that person. That's a very personal decision. If you don't take their call, you just canceled that person or ghosted them. But what does it really mean to cancel someone? Canceling someone is not giving them a chance to talk, explain, or defend themselves. Cancel culture is about silencing people who you do not agree with. Technology has made it easy. Writing for the City Journal, Robert Henderson describes the act of canceling as, quote, "an entertaining hobby, an indulgent, dopamine-feeding activity practiced on social media until its cruel practitioners ultimately get bored." But as Fred Bauer argues at the National Review, canceling goes far beyond social media. He writes that canceling, quote, "is often about translating this digital criticism into real personal pain." Cancel culture is a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrown out of social or professional circles, whether it be online, on social media, or in person. Those who are victim to this ostracism are said to have been canceled, close quotes. Others might say, "sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Cancel culture shouts down unpopular speech. A society that embraces cancel culture is only steps away from using government power to shut down free speech. And what about the woke crowd? Woke is a fairly modern term that has come to mean, quote, conscious of injustice in society, close quotes. A woke person is especially attentive to racial discrimination and the issues surrounding it. Although the word woke has been closely linked to the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, the term goes back further than that. No clear-thinking person thinks that all forms of racism were erased by the civil rights movement of the 1960s. Christians understand that while laws and legislation guard the principle of equal rights for all Americans legally, no law can change the heart. Someone who is filled with prejudice and racial hatred will not suddenly be filled with love simply because a new law is passed. Christians know the evil of the human heart. Real justice is possible only when individuals have been justified in Christ. Only when we are saved can we live out the mandate, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," in the way taught by Christ. A Christian must realize that real racial reconciliation in the church occurs when we prioritize our identity in Christ over our belonging to a racial category or ethnicity. Members of the body of Christ should feel more at home in their Christian family than even in their own ethnicity. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we should be woke to the love of God for our family in Christ. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness had blinded his eyes. We read that in Galatians 3:28. We should be woke to the light of the gospel. We should be woke to the fact of temptation in the world. Real change and real answers to the problems of racism, injustice, and other societal evils are found in God's word and in the peace he gives. Jesus will never ghost us or cancel us. Forever, God declares, not just for years or centuries or even millennia, not for any measure of human time, but forever will I keep my steadfast love for you, my covenant promises to be your God, and for you to be my people, are neither wobbly or weak or subject to a better offer. They are firm, everlasting. Even the most reliable of human relationships can fall away in this life. We have a rock we can cling to, even if all else falls to pieces around us.
The book of Revelation is the most misunderstood of all the 66 books of the Bible. In our resource corner today, we are offering Revelation for Today, an easy-to-understand, verse-by-verse commentary presented from a premillennial, pre-tribulation position on eschatology. Over 50 years of study and world travels by Noah Hutchings is put into this exhaustive verse-by-verse study of the apocalypse with a contemporary application. Revelation for Today. It can be yours for a gift of $15 or more to the ministry. Another great resource we have today is the biography, As It Is in the Days of Noah. This book about the life and times of Noah Hutchings, former president of Southwest Radio Ministries, takes the reader through Brother Hutchings' ups and downs, times of blessings, sorrows, triumphs, and failures, wartime service, and testimony of 60 years in Christian service. The book, As It Is in the Days of Noah, can be yours for a gift of $15 or more today. Or you can combine both books, Revelation for Today and As It Is in the Days of Noah, for a gift of only $25 or more to the ministry of Southwest. You can get these outstanding resources right now by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also place your order online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. If you missed our big announcement earlier, you missed a lot. The big announcement was conferences are back. In-person and online conferences are now open for registration. Lord willing, we'll be bringing prophecy conferences to Denver, Columbus, and Las Vegas this year, as well as worldwide via our online prophecy conference. You can learn all the details and you can register right now by visiting swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can register by calling toll-free 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. We have been blessed to share a special feature the last few days on the program from our friends at Larry Stamm Ministries, Messianic Minute. It's a unique 60 seconds of ministry through a Jewish lens. Take a listen.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here with a Messianic Minute, Biblical Connections Through a Jewish Lens. What's in a name? Much. In Luke 1:31, the angel Gabriel told Mary that when she brought forth a son, she would call his name Jesus. If ever a name was full of meaning, it is the name of Jesus. Transliterated from Hebrew and Aramaic, the name is Yeshua and literally means Yahweh saves or the Lord is salvation. Philippians 2:9-11 states that God has given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yes, there is something about that name, the singular name of Jesus our Lord. For more connections, visit our website at larrystamm.org or see our Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page.
As we close out another week together, I hope you'll check out the schedule of conferences we have. Conferences online and in person are planned for this year, and we hope you'll be a part of these exciting events. With conferences in Columbus, Denver, and Las Vegas, as well as a very special prophecy conference that will be held for everyone online, everybody can access great biblical teaching from some of your favorite speakers, like Dr. Larry Spargimino, Dr. Kenneth Hill, James Collins, Billy Crone, Bill Federer, and Todd Friel, just to name a few. Registration is open now for all of our conferences with some special early bird pricing available. You can register for any or all of our conferences right now at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. Or you can register by calling 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Conferences are back, and we hope to see you soon. And by the way, if you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. In this packet, you'll find a special welcome letter from our president, Dr. Kenneth Hill, information about the ministry, and a free book. It's our way of saying thank you for being a new listener here at Southwest Radio Ministries. To request your new listener pack, which is absolutely free, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144 and request your new listener pack today. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.